Hey, welcome back to my podcast, What Am I Watching Right Now? And you're listening to me, your host Anjali Sinha. And in this podcast episode, I'm going to talk about another K-drama I've watched. And this won't be like an episode by episode breakdown, but it's just going to be like an overall review, since a lot of things were going on in the drama. And I feel like if I start to review everything, I might just lose my mind, because it was such a mixed bag of stuff that was happening in that drama. And it's also been a while since I've watched it. It's been like a month or something. Talking about Crash Course in Romance. And yeah, without further ado, let's get into it. So the premise of the show was intriguing. Actually thought of in the first episode, while going into the first episode, I thought that it had more to do with a slow burn romance about two very different personalities, but they are somehow like related to each other. But as the, you know, since any average K-drama takes around 3 to 4 episodes to set up the premise. So premise is basically who's who, who works where, how are these two people related, like how they are interacting in this setup world, how their paths are crossing, their backstories, who they are and why they are, and what are their character motivations. It sometimes takes in a classic K-drama around 3 to 4 episodes, and sometimes 6 episodes, to really just set the premise in stone, and then the story would move forward. So in the first while watching the first episode, I was just intrigued and thought that it'll be like just an average drama about a banchan side dish store owner and a celebrity math tutor, and their worlds will intertwine because the single mom's daughter is going to go to 12th grade, and that's very important in Korea because students take college entrance examinations and they study like the whole day for it. So they have a very packed schedule, and it's just that the whole thing has a lot of stakes into it, because that university examination scores are important going forward for them getting good jobs or having a career. So it's very important, and the universities you get into is also very important. So I thought that, like, so that's what I thought. I thought that's how their, you know, paths will cross, and there will be, you know, nice easy breezy K-drama feelings, and I would enjoy myself. And the fact that it was premiering around Valentine's Day, I was like, yeah, it's based on love or whatever, but there's always a but. This K-drama came with a side of mother. There was like a side mother. Why did that sound like mother while I'm speaking? I don't know. Forgotten how to pronounce English words. So with a side dish of murder and a psychopathic killer on the loose. Also, I felt like the drama had a lot of commentary about K-pop idols, because Chaeyoung's character was based on a celebrity math tutor, and they were treating him the same way they will treat the people in the show were treating him in the same way they will treat like a K-pop idol, and not like an average influencer, which was weird for me. But yeah, it had like a lot of commentary, how he is like the celebrity tutor, everything he does becomes into a scandal, so he has to be very sure about what he's doing, or otherwise it's going to cost him his whole career, and this man works very hard and he has a lot of pride in calling himself 3 billion won man, something like that. And it's only because like he knows that his time is money and money is power, etc., etc. So he has to be very cautious how he's like showing up in his business. He's very professional with his students and he actually cares. So I just anticipated like something on the lines of the single mom sends the daughter to his university and something happens and then they get together, and that trope did happen, which was expected. But we got like this extra subtropes. We got the psychopathic killer, there were murders, there were scandals, there were over competitive moms and their equally over competitive offsprings. There were also talks about like the academic pressure and shown so again commentary about that, like, and the academic system and how people, even parents, play an active role in pushing their kids to a threshold where they're losing their minds, they're having like mental breakdowns, they're having meltdowns, and some people are even trying to unalive themselves. So that's all that's happening, and that's like, I think the other parts are like 70% to 75% of the drama, and the romance is only like 10 to 15%. And I wanted to watch more of the romance because that's what I showed up for, that's what I subscribed for, because it literally says crash course in romance, but there was literally very, very little and 000 romance. But the show still works in its own way. The first 3-4 episodes were nice. I didn't really like their beginning, like in the beginning they're bickering whenever they see each other, and I knew that it's just usual K-drama stuff, like when they will bicker then they'll slowly start liking each other, but also like the bickering faded quickly, so I was like, okay, that's fine, didn't bug me that much. But yeah, I didn't really just sit right. I felt like it didn't really have a place in there because again the main leads were mature people in their 40s, so you won't think that for 40 year olds, like 42 43 45 year olds will just bicker when they see each other. But this happens in K-drama, so if you think of, see it through like a K-drama lens, you will understand like all this bickering is setting up for them to come closer or cut out a deal where they are you know, like in the same proximity, aka when Choi Chae Yul takes a stand to teach Hai at home, even though that's not allowed. He could have lost his job, there was so much at stake, but he felt like he had to take a stand because the mom influencer of that competitive mom's group got her forced out of that all medical care group that Chae Yul was teaching on the weekends. So there was things that are happening which I kind of expected, but there was also things that were happening that you won't expect. Also, why do all the K-dramas now have someone's murder or something very heavy going on as a subplot, and it's not like it's even fully resolved, in the sense that they do show us a killer, we do get a resolution why the psychopathic killer was being the psychopathic killer and what were his motivations and blah 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 blah, but I'm not entirely sure about the messaging of the drama, like what are you trying to comment on, because it's not like the death of that psychopathic killer gets a conversation, like an entire closure kind of conversation, like, hey, this happened, but this had to happen. But there's just like a montage of Jaecheol getting really depressed, and then Hang Seon, I'm sorry, I'm mispronouncing her name. She shows up at his apartment and she's like, yeah, but you couldn't have seen him being the killer and blah, blah, blah. And that's it. And that's it. Like, that's basically it. There's not the kind of resolution that I was looking for, because, like, what's the point of having all of that in the plot? Because if you subtract that from the plot would have still been very unchanged. Like, it doesn't really affect the main plot anyway. Things that were happening would have still happened without having that extra psychopathic killer subplot story being included in the main plot. But that's just what I think. I was also very confused about the mom influences kid subplot. Like, she was losing her mind, but then we do not get a conversation like what was actually happening with her, because she was literally hallucinating, trying to kill Hei, and we don't really get a resolution. It was just that she was mad. I was like, what was the point of including that in the show? It got like significant screen time that could have given to the romance, or maybe Hei and her friends, but it's just there, and suddenly she's like, oh, it's the pressure, and then she gets into a romantic relationship by the end, even though she did all of that, felt all of that, and she still manages to be friends with the main lead. Like, yeah, Hei is kind of a main lead when it comes to the children's generation. I didn't really get all of that. I didn't really understand that, but it was again there, and none of it was like resolved in a more like a fundamental way. It was like we've been just given a few answers. Some things are shown, but yeah, what was the point? Like, literally, what was the point of including that in the main plot? But okay, I guess it was there. But yeah, overall, majorly, you will enjoy the drama, because the main leads, main male and female leads, are very good at what they're doing. It's still very enjoyable. You would love their romance arc. They are like a no-nonsense couple. Like, there's not drama that, I won't say like there's no internal drama, there is a external drama, like the mom influencer and her other mom friends, who are literally creating drama for this relationship by creating scandals, etc., etc. But there's not like arguments, because they do not really understand each other, they're misunderstanding each other, that's not there. And the main female lead is more like very sweet, very caring, and loves in almost a sacrificial way. So when she realizes that following her feelings for Jaecheol will put Hei's future on the line, and she will like get some kind of she will face embarrassment at school and probably bullying, she backs down, and yeah, she doesn't pursue Jaecheol. But I really liked Hei being very brave, like shown as a very brave girl, facing her past, being open about it to her best friends, even though she had like a very traumatic incident in the past, where she opened up to a friend and she took advantage of it, like the friend took advantage of it. I still felt like he was very brave, very courageous about her past, and she called it not a scandal but a romance. And I really liked her taking a stand for her auntie or her mom. She was like literally her mom, because nobody was like literally taking a stand for Hyesun, but I really liked he did that. And also, like, her stand was based out of love, not, and it was not based in the feelings of embarrassment or fear, but she was like, she's doing that out of love, which was like really touching. So there were a lot of aspects of the show that really worked for me, but there were also some things that didn't work for me, like I've told you, and there were like a few more, but it was still like overly enjoyable, I'll say 75%. But apart from the really complex subplots that literally weren't needed, it could have been better, because again, my expectations weren't managed, because I saw that it said crash course in romance, and I was expecting more romance, but it's not much romance. It's like let me compare it to a Bollywood masala film, like that's what they call them, like a blockbuster in Bollywood. It has like a bit of everything, so there are a lot of genre jumps in it. So it has like action, it has romance, it has slice of life, it has drama, melodrama, it has like literally everything, and that's why it's called a blockbuster in Bollywood. And I felt like Crash Course in Romance was pretty much something like that. It had slice of life, family drama, drama, romance, murder mystery, killer documentary, everything in it. So if you're open to watching something like that, and if you do not mind genre jumps, and I also didn't expect myself to finish it, because I was actually around, I think, episode 8 or 9, I was like really have made my mind to just give it up, because again, Netflix was making me wait like a week to watch the next episode, and also I was almost bored, because there were so many things going on and there was not like much romance. But I still made myself watch it. I think I dropped it for a bit there, and then I watched the last 4 or 5 episodes like really randomly after they were all up on Netflix. So yeah, apart from all of that, I think yeah, you can still enjoy it, it's still enjoyable. But yeah, if you're expecting romance, don't expect too much. It's just like 15 to 20%, and I was also expecting more of Hye-yi's and Lee Seung-jae's relationship to get more screen time. And I understand like they were still in school and they didn't get much screen time, but when they did the time jump, they could have shown us more when they both went to college, but we didn't really get much of that. So that was like a bit of a disappointment too, because I was hoping, because they were literally giving us a whole romance arc there, but then it became more about academic pressure, hey being attacked, etc, etc. So there were a lot of jumps, but yeah, I was hoping to see more of that relationship too, but again, it didn't get much screen time, so what's the point of me talking about it now? Also, since I talked about the aspects that didn't work for me, I would like to include the aspects of the romance that did work for me. So in true K-drama fashion, this is a show that's not trying to reinvent the wheel. It's trying to use all the tropes that we have already probably seen many, many times, but they somehow take it and put a small twist to it, or make it move it in a way that we recognize the tropes, but we still watch it because it's still refreshing. I think the basic, I think the aspect that was refreshing for this drama was the main leads being in their 40s and them being a more of a mature couple. So, you know, their interactions and the dynamics and their relationship would be much more mature. And I knew it from the beginning, basically because how Heng Son's character was basically centered. Like, she was very mature, she had like a very calm, cool head on her neck. I don't know. She was like a really cool, calm personality, and she was like no nonsense. And with Chae-Chi Yeol, you could see like he was very passionate about his work, he was very professional, he was also very no nonsense, and he wouldn't he liked to keep his boundaries intact, so you know, like, it won't be something where they are misunderstanding each other and there are very weird tropes of them not getting to understand each other or not being on the same page. I didn't really expect all of that because I knew that won't be a problem. So the only conflict that their relationship could have gotten was from the external subplots, basically where the mom and the mom influencer and all the other things that come in, like the Mr. G character and the murder mystery and things that are happening with Hei and her friends and the school and etc. and the academy. So I knew that, like, if they are like more, they have a more of a complex dynamic, the conflict would be external, and that's why probably the writer created so many subplots to keep the main plot moving. But I felt like towards the end they lost track in a way, because suddenly around the episode 13 mark we are resolving the murder subplot with so much intensity that it doesn't feel like a 20% rom-com drama anymore. It just feels like a murder mystery at that point, and we are solving the murder, we are solving the murders that are happening, like who's doing them, then we are catching the killer, and then we are finding the motivation, and then we are relating the killer to being one of like this, the brother of the student that loses their life, sorry, that takes their life in, I think, in the second episode or something. Like, in the beginning it's mentioned, like, there's a student that Chae-Chi Yeol taught and they ended up unaliving themselves because of, again, family and academic pressure. So there's all that, but the romance arc is there. It's just that it takes a backseat in places, and most of the time it's reasonable because it makes sense in the setup world, you know, in the drama world. Like I explained it to you, since they are a mature couple, their conflict would be external. But around the episode 13 mark, I was like, it's not a rom-com anymore, even though they did try to give us, like, the last episode there were breezy and happy scenes, but we had to wait around like 3 to 4 episodes to get to that. So yeah, that was like one of my biggest cons from watching this K-drama. Thank you for coming in and listening to me talk about this K-drama and what I felt while watching it. It's very nice to have you here, and it was lovely talking to you. See you in the next episode. Bye!